Why'd you call it the Bowl of Light?
Well, this was a metaphor that McCoy used to talk about the fact that at the beginning of life, each one of us receives a spiritual spark which comes to us from our higher self. And that spiritual spark is kind of like a hologram in the sense that it contains within itself everything which is recorded in our higher self field, in our oversoul field. Now, in giving us the Bowl of Light, you know, he told us a very interesting story. He said, you know, each one of us comes in with this Bowl of Light, but that light is diminished as we live our life, because every time we step into the negative polarity, every time that we injure somebody with our words or our thoughts or our deeds, or we take something that doesn't belong to us, you know, every time we step into the negative, it's like you put a stone in this bowl and some of your light goes out. Now, this was a metaphorical way of talking about a very real phenomenon. And he paused and he said, you know, one of the major problems in the world today is that the world is being run primarily by men whose bowls of light are filled with stones, and there's no light in these people anymore, despite what they may profess to be so. He said, hopefully we get to a point in our life where we realize what we're doing before it's too late. And he said, you know what you do then? And of course, my wife and I are just hanging on every word. So he took this wooden bowl and he turned it over. And he said, you just dump it out. And of course, this was a big laugh shared by us all, you know, sort of releasing the tension of the moment. And he said, but from that time forward, we lead our life differently. And it's at this point that we become what he called spiritual warriors. Now, he used the word warrior with deliberation because, as I told you, he was a military warrior for much of his life. But he was also kahuna on both sides of his family, both his mother and his father. And so he carried this body of knowledge and this level of spiritual responsibility which came to him through his ancestors. And so he said, as spiritual warriors, we walk a very narrow path, which is constrained by three sacred directives. Now, he called them kapus, K-A-P-U. A kapu is something which is sacred or restricted or constrained, or it, in this case, it meant a directive. And he said, there are three sacred directives that we have to live our life in alignment with. And he said, the first of them is, you have to love all that you see with humility. Now, he tells me this, and I'm thinking to myself, boy, easy one first. And, of course, in his clairvoyance, he picked up immediately my thought. He started to laugh.
But when you say love what you see, I need you to understand that a little bit more. Would that even be if you see your enemy?
That's right. It means that as you pass through life and you encounter people, events, and places, you must come from that place of aloha, because it's only in the positive polarity that we can really achieve a successful outcome. We virtually never are able to achieve a successful outcome if we're in the negative polarity. But that's where we learn our lessons. The second kapu was, he said, you have to live all that you feel with reverence. Now, he used the term reverence with deliberation as well. In this case, it means an active respect for everyone and everything that you encounter in life. It's what Joseph Campbell meant when he said you have to follow your bliss. And if you follow your bliss, you can't go wrong. So we have to live what we feel with respect, with reverence. And for indigenous people, this is the foundation stone for indigenous mind. The foundation stone for indigenous mind is respect. And so I looked at him and I said, what's the foundation stone for Western mind? And he laughed and he said, oh, the foundation stone for Western mind, which is the same as colonial mind, is dominion, domination. And, you know, if you cast an informed glance over the last 2,000 years of history, you can see this is a very accurate perception.
Oh, he's right.
The third couple, we must know all that we possess with discipline. And in knowing what we possess, that includes what possesses us. And this is how you find yourself disciplined. So this was the path on which he walked. And it was a very simple but very complex teaching, the path of humility, reverence, and self-discipline through the act of loving, living, and knowing. This was the central teaching that he came from. And so, as I've said, you know, he gave us this wonderful bowl, and that bowl travels with me now. And it holds a candle in the center of each one of my circles when I'm teaching.
Well, Hank, if
and centers again,
if somebody practices these three directives, what happens to them? What do they accomplish?
Well, they step up into what he called the spiritual hierarchy. Now, he had a very interesting perception about who we are as well as where we are. And in his words, in order to experience authentic initiation, you have to know who you are as well as where you are. And in knowing who we are, he said, you know, in the Western world, you have a monotheist perspective. In the Western world, there's only one God, you only have one life, and you only have one soul. But in the indigenous world, we know that we have many lives, that there are many gods, and we have many souls. To be precise, we have three. Now, this was also part of his central teaching, that each one of us possesses not one, but three separate souls. And that seed of light that comes into us at the beginning of the life is one of them. That is the spark of your spiritual soul that resides within you throughout your life, sustaining you, sustaining you. Now, the interesting thing about this story is that in looking at the reincarnational perspective, he said, at the beginning of life, we receive this bowl of light from our oversoul, from our higher self, the immortal aspect of ourselves. And when it enters the physical body, it encounters a distinct and separate soul, which is already in residence. This is the body soul, the physical soul, that we received from our mother and our father. In his perspective, in the same way that the gametes, the sex cells, contain a genetic template from the mother and a genetic template from the father, which at fertilization creates a new template, a new pattern, which eventually becomes ourselves. There's also an energetic spiritual template, which contains all these ancestral imprints from the mother's side of the family and from the father's side of the family. And so when this incoming seed of light enters and takes up residence within us, it encounters this distinct soul, which is already in the body. This is what some people call the energy body. And it reveals that our energy body actually comes from three sources, not two, from the mother, from the father, and from our spiritual higher self.